Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Ripley Johnson is a triple threat, a guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter. He's the man behind the psychedelic stylings of the bands Wooden Ships and Moon Duo. Now Ripley's focus on exploration has led him to form his newest group, Rose City Band. The music is influenced by Ripley's love of albums from the 1970s. Think Neil Young with reverberating echoes of the Grateful Dead and Graham Parsons. Their latest album is Soli Sombra, the group's fifth. British music mag Uncut has described the album as just gorgeous, and Mojo has said it's yet another beauty. Beta's resident musicologist Steve Gotcher sat down with Ripley Johnson to learn how he's leaned in to his influences to create a sound all his own.
I grew up on classic rock. My dad had a huge record collection that he mysteriously never seemed to listen to. Like, I have no memory of him ever putting a record on, but he must have had 1,000 records. And, you know, the radio at the time when I was growing up was a lot of classic rock, a lot of oldies. So that's sort of something that I absorbed at a formative age. When I was in high school, I got more into psychedelic classic rock, stuff that was easily accessible at the time, Pink Floyd and the Grateful Dead and Neil Young. And so that's just sort of my foundation of my love for music. I got into denser, sort of more heavy, droning kind of stuff in my 20s, and that informed my early bands. And then as I've gotten older, I've just come back full circle to the music of my youth. And that's what I associate the Rose City Band stuff with more.
Were there any non-musical influences for this particular record?
Yeah, I would say Carl Jung, of all things.
Interesting.
I've been doing Jungian psychotherapy in the last couple of years, and I've gotten sort of obsessed with his philosophy of the psyche and the unconscious. And I've started taking, you know, I have a dream journal, and I do a lot of dream analysis. So the title Soli Sombra, Sun and Shadow, sort of alludes to that, you know, the conscious, our conscious mind, what we go through every day, our ego. And then there's the shadow. There's this big part of us that we only really glimpse in dreams. And so that has been something that's been preoccupying me for the last couple of years.
That's interesting. And the concept of the record certainly has that vibe to it. There's a lot of light and dark, and it just seems to be on the edge of falling apart totally, yet it's so tight and clean. It's an amazing thing that you pulled off.
Thank you. Yeah, my early bands, like, there was a lot of density, like you said. There's a lot of fuzz or distortion, which as a guitar player is wonderful because it's sort of like surfing a sea. You know, it supports you. For this band, for some reason, I wanted to remove a lot of that and find a clarity. But it also leaves you very exposed.
Yeah.
So it is a challenge for me as a musician.
And when I say falling apart, I mean in the sense that it would evolve into a psychedelic cacophony at some point, but it doesn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a cool thing, because you're waiting for it to happen and it doesn't.
That's good. We, you know, live, we have a lot of improvisational sections in our set, and you know, there's always the possibility that things will fall apart. And I think leaving room for that possibility is what enables you to create something potentially special on that night. Of course, with a record, you would never leave that on the record. You would, you know, you excise that out of the the record if it happens during the recordings.
Right. Otherwise, it'd be a 10-volume set or
something.
Yeah. So let's talk about the songs a little bit. And we spoke about the Grateful Dead a little bit ago. Lights on the Way has definitely a Grateful Dead feel. What were you going for with that track?
I try to open up and just let things come to me. That's sort of how I work as a songwriter. Living alive. Never feel the day. The shadows fall. while we were recording it, I noticed, you know, I noticed these things like, oh, this sounds a little bit like this or a little bit like that. And, you know, you can't really run away from your influences. And sometimes I lean in and sometimes I lean back, you know. Mm-hmm. There always seems to be some element of, to me, like Lou Reed somehow has gotten into my bones. And so, like, the way I play rhythm is just very similar, I think, to things that he did. I hear the little bit of Grateful Dead stuff in it, but usually when I'm creating, I don't notice those things. It's usually when I'm recording in retrospect.
You don't sound like the kind of person who's really trying to, and this is a good thing, trying to create your own particular sound. You're very willing to just lean into whatever is appealing to you at that time. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's come to me later in life, as I've matured a bit. I, when I was younger, I think I was very contrary in general. And I think my music was always sort of a reaction to the culture, reaction to things. And now I'm trying to just sort of accept things as they are. Lights on. I mean, everyone has their own unique things that they like, even if we all share so many common things. And music is a language. That's why it means something to people. But I think, yeah, if you just stay true to your little eccentricities, you end up coming up with something unique.
A few weeks ago, I talked with Joe Boyd.
Oh, yes, yeah.
He was saying, he's written a book recently about world music, and he was saying that there is no pure music. All music is a hybrid.
Yeah, and I see it as like a stream. It's sort of like, you know, like Jung would say, the collective unconscious. We're all pulling from the same things. This is why people, sometimes in scientific breakthroughs, people will invent the same thing on different parts of the globe, though at the same time, the same thing will be invented. You know, we're pulling things from this well of knowledge and culture that's, you know, thousands of years old. And you kind of have to just let it happen for the magic to be there.
Now, speaking of the tracks on the record, the second track you have has definitely a Gram Parsons feel, which I thought was just lovely because I love Gram Parsons' music. Do you have much in common with Parsons and his style of music at all? Feel the wrecks of the open road
in the night so free. I think what I share with Gram Parsons is that I'm a big fan of classic country, and I think he came from the South, but he came from a wealthy family. He wasn't really a good old boy. I think he pretended to be a bit, but he loved honky tonk, and that is the country music that I love. So we share that for sure.
The songs on the record move from melancholy to joyful, and you've said the Rose City Band tries to keep things light, but the darkness has crept in a little bit more this time. How do you feel about that?
I feel really good about it, actually, because I think, you know, when I first started this project, I think it was in some ways a reaction to my other bands. It was like, this is all pretty heavy and dark. I need to do something light for myself, really, and... But a balance has come in, I think, with this project, which I think is healthy.
The band you've assembled plays with restraint and a lot of spaciousness. Tell me something about the players you have on this particular record.
So John Jeffrey, the drummer, has played on all of the records. When I first started, it was just me and him. And then when I put the live band together, I started playing with these guys. So John Jeffrey's still playing drums. Barry Walker Jr. is on pedal steel guitar. He's a fantastic steel player that I met in Portland. Paul Hassenberg is keyboard player, and he also plays in the live band. And then my partner, Sanaa Yamada from Moon Duo, she makes a guest appearance on vocals and some synth parts. I always envisioned it as a studio project where I could indulge my inner control freak and try to get everything just the way I want it. But since playing with these guys, I've sort of opened that up and tried to bring more of their energy into it.
Oh, you mentioned Barry Walker, your pedal steel player. He's a wizard of melody and counter melody, and Sunlight Days finds him at his most relaxed and expansive. Have you found yourself writing more with your bandmates in mind?
I don't write with them in mind, but when it came time for the production, I've allowed more room for them, because in the early days, you know, I was doing all of it myself, so it was a lot of guitar. Which is great. I love the guitar. But it's really nice to just say, hey, Barry, here's a section. Do whatever you want, you know? Give him free rein to really think about bringing something special. I mean, he's a real craftsman, you know, he wants it to be just right, and it's a real honor for me to be able to play with him.
First Rose City album was a bit of an enigma. It took you a while to even come forward as the guy behind the project. And it wasn't until after your third album arrived that the band performed anywhere live. Why is that?
Part of it is the pandemic. When I made the second album, I actually made the record thinking about playing live. So a lot of the songs were geared towards that. And then the pandemic hit when it came out. So that put a pause on that. But the initial record, I wanted it to just exist in the world without being considered in the context of me, you know, and my past work.
So touring really wasn't something you didn't want to do. It's just because of the circumstances at the time you couldn't.
That's part of it. And also, I didn't know if it was going to work. I'd been doing the Moon Duo stuff, and we're touring a lot. But I figured I'm going to make this sort of country rock-ish record, and I don't know how people are going to react to it.
Yeah, yeah. Your lyrics hit me as impressionistic and universal. Light and dark, leaving and returning, loneliness and belonging. The listener seems free to apply your words to their own experience. Is that something that you intended?
Well, it's something that I love in the music that I like. I'm not a big lyrics person in general. Like, I have friends who are, you know, obsessed with Bob Dylan lyrics, and I'm more into the feel and the music and the emotion of it, and I don't focus on the lyrics a lot, and I tend to like when something is ambiguous, so you can project your own feelings onto it. It, for me, as a listener, it brings me closer to the music.
One sunny day, I met a soul out on the bay.
This album is laid out in a very intentional way. Did you spend a lot of time thinking about how to sequence the songs on this record?
Yes, yeah, always. I'm a vinyl person, so I think about that. Like, how does it... What's the first song you're going to hear when you put the needle down? On both sides. And also, I'm a big side B guy. I think it's fascinating when you look at the second side of LPs, because a lot of times it's the weirder songs. But
right.
Oftentimes for me, that's the most interesting and the cooler stuff. I mean, we had some weirder songs, I think, for this record that weren't straightforward country rock or whatever. So I immediately thought, oh, these songs are going to be on the second side and ease people into it.
You know, a lot of people who have a musical career start out a certain way and may move away, like Joni Mitchell moved away from folk music more into jazz and some other experimental things. Are you doing that, or are you doing it simultaneously with all three bands?
The Rose City Band stuff is my main preoccupation right now. The other bands aren't really active, so I guess I am moving away from that stuff. I'm on some kind of journey. I don't know where I'm going, but yeah, there's definitely some sort of trajectory.
Well, Ripley Johnson, thank you so much for talking with us today, and good luck with the Rose City Band's new album, Soli Sombra. It's a really fabulous record.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Ripley Johnson is the leader of Rose City Band. Steve Gotcher talked with him about their latest album, Soli Sombra. Find out more at WPR.org/beta.
I wouldn't exactly call him a prophet, but he has a full heart now for the first time in decades, and he wants to share with everybody.
Coming up, author Richard Price on his first new novel in almost a decade. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.